Welcome to Quest for Gold, our weekly countdown to the Summer Games in Paris. As expected in our conversation last week with Jeff Reuter of The Athletic, the U.S. women's national team is now looking for a new head soccer coach following their disappointing early World Cup exit. Vladko Andonovski has resigned from the club. In a statement, U.S. Soccer says sporting director Matt Crocker will lead the search for a new head coach. Twyla Kilgore is the interim head coach. The Olympics are, of course, just 11 months away. Spain takes on England in the Women's World Cup final on Sunday, and Serena Weigman, the English head coach, does have ties to the U.S., having played soccer for the UNC Tar Heels in the late 80s. Her name has been floated as a possible next head coach of the U.S. women's national team. The men's BMW Golf Championship is underway this weekend in suburban Chicago, featuring several golfers who could be contending in Paris next year. It's one of dozens of qualifying events on the men's side. As of right now, among the American men, Scottie Scheffler, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, and Max Homa would qualify. Points are kept leading up to the games. Scheffler is currently the world number one in the Olympic ranking. Schauffele won gold in Tokyo. Also underway this weekend, the AVP Manhattan Beach Volleyball Open. It is not an Olympic qualifying event, but plenty of potential Olympians will be hitting the sand in Southern California. We had a chance to catch up this week with newly paired men's duo, Tri Born and Kame Schulk, both previously Olympians, but never together.
I guess my first question is, where are you guys at right now?
We're by the stadium, behind the stadium.
Yeah, we're on site, getting the vibes of Manhattan Beach sand. And we're going to do a training session after this, but we're down here at the stadium, and it's coming together very nicely.
I want to start with you, Tri, because your bio over the last 5 years is kind of all over the place, and your Wikipedia might need a refresh. From what I gather, you came back from a chronic disease in 2018, spent 2 years off of the sand. You team up with Trevor Crabb, lots of success, but you guys don't qualify for Tokyo. Trevor's brother Taylor does qualify, but gets COVID before the games. So you come in, slide in, and fill. You're an Olympian, no question about that. But I'm sure, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's probably not the terms you were hoping to become an Olympian. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think you nailed it, pretty much. You nailed it.
Does that kind of set the stage here for 2023? Is that your motivation now? You want to get to the Olympics in Paris, rather, on your terms?
Yes, 100%. Obviously, it's an honor to be able to get that Olympic title and to go play out there.
I want to go to you, Kame, now. You came into 2023 with an Olympic appearance in 2016 in Rio. It was under the Canadian flag. So how did you come to this decision to play for the U.S. this cycle round?
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot that went into it, but I basically competed for Canada for 7 or 8 years. Wanted to keep growing and pushing myself and seeing kind of where the whole goal of sport for me is, like, to see how far I can take it, how far my body will take me. So playing in the U.S. is like a bigger market. Obviously the AVP I can play. Team up with someone who I can play both AVP and FIVB, and then obviously not just qualify for an Olympics, but to go to win a medal, basically. Financially, it's a lot better for me, because in Canada there wasn't a lot of options in terms of making a lot of money. So this just has given me a lot more opportunity to grow and just kind of continue doing what I want to do.
So how did this partnership happen here?
We both had good, like, the last couple of years, both of us had good years. We're kind of the top two or three teams in the country. And just kind of looking at the Paris run and what all goes into it. At least for me, it was like who having an opportunity to team up with a guy with kind of the same values as me. And then making that push, it's such a long, like, both of us have done it, so it's such a long grind, and the amount of work you need to put in is significant. So kind of standing by a guy with the same kind of mentality and same focus was kind of the right choice for me, and I think try similar. But just kind of everything, there's a lot that goes into it, basically.
Sure. Did I read that you guys are seeing a sports psychologist together? Is that something you've previously done? How did that all come about?
Yeah, we have a sports psychologist kind of a part of our team. We have, you know, a staff. We have our weight training coach. We have our mental coach. We have our volleyball coach. We have our whole training staff at USA Volleyball that takes care of us. And it's just we just have the full team to help us maximize our potential.
There's such a mental aspect to all of this. Of course, you guys are focusing on what's at hand this weekend, and you've got someone like me coming in and asking, oh, tell me about 11 months from now, right? I mean, is it hard to, you know, stay in the moment when you've got such lofty goals ahead of you and you've got a lot of steps to make to get to that point?
Yeah, I think the reason we have the sports psych is to make sure that we can stay present and be really aware of all the pressures that come along with this job, and so that we can be present and perform to the best of our ability. And there's a ton of pressure that comes along, and there's a ton of expectation, but that's what we signed up for. We want the big pressure moments. We want the difficult challenge to achieve the biggest goals. So it's important that we train our minds as well as our bodies.
What are the steps you guys have to take between now and Paris? Specifically, what are some of the goals that you've laid out over the next 11 months?
Yeah, I mean, it's like Tri was saying, it's a long-term process. It's something where we're working day in and day out. We're taking care of our bodies. We're taking care of our minds. We're working with our team to kind of optimize what we need. So that, you know, we try not to look too far down the road. Like, we want to work, obviously this weekend we're working to get our names on the pier, or I mean me specifically. Tri's already been up there a couple of times, but I think it's important not to kind of get too ahead of ourselves. Just continuing to grow, continuing to push each other, to continue to figure out ways to kind of get through, ways to win, ways to fight, basically. And that's kind of just the shorter term of what creates a really good long-term process. We're both veteran guys, right? So we've done the Olympic grinds. We've done all of that. And that's kind of another reason why we teamed up. We're veterans now, and being able to take care of the little things kind of leads to the long-term success.
And is this, I mean, obviously this weekend you build more teamwork, more mental awareness of each other. I mean, this is that's all part of the process as well too.
Yeah, I mean, we're certainly getting better every time we step on the court, and we like to think we're on an upward trajectory. But any opportunity to play under pressure with a lot of expectation or pressure is an opportunity to get better and improve ourselves. So, it's just opportunity, and we only have so much opportunity, so we're trying to take advantage of each one that comes up.
And Kame, I think I read that you said that 80% of the journey is just getting qualified. I'm guessing the other 20% is trying to stay healthy. Obviously that's a big part of coming out. Now, you guys are in your 30s. I'm in my 40s. I can appreciate this sport because it's not necessarily a young man's sport. You don't have to be 17, 18. I'm sure it helps, post tournaments, but the team chemistry is a big part of this. And I know that's what you're building at, but I'm assuming that that's a big part of what you guys are doing right now, especially with your trainers, is just trying to stay healthy through this cycle.
Definitely. I think that's kind of why we have the whole team around us. That's why we have our physical trainer. That's why we're in the gym. That's why we're training certain hours. That's why we put a lot of time in. That's why we wanted to team up. I mean, we both take care of ourselves. We want to continue to grow, but also get stronger and also like last through an entire season. Like, these seasons are long. Mm-hmm. So we're playing 20 to 30, probably 25 events this season, which is close to double what we played last season. So our off season training has been different. We've been trying to get on the path of like continuing to stay strong. Whereas you'll see other teams that will have dips, a little more dips and a little more, those, you know, peaks and valleys, instead of we're trying to continually build and stay strong the whole way through.
Do you change sleep cycles, food cycles, things like that at all?
Our sleep cycles change on us because we're traveling internationally so much. Sure. There's a lot that's out of our control when we're traveling internationally or even domestically. But at this point in our careers, like a 3-hour time change is the same as no time change, because we're so used to the 8-hour, 10-hour, 12-hour. It's really about, it's kind of like a marathon race, even though it's a, you know, it's not an endurance sport. The season is a marathon. So you really have to pace yourself and take care of your body.
The one thing I really like about the way the Paris Olympics are set up, at least from your perspective, is this is going to be a really cool venue. You guys are going to be literally under the Eiffel Tower. It's like the crown jewel of venues for the Olympics. So I know you guys are taking it step by step, but sometimes when you're laying there in bed, I'm sure you're thinking about what that venue is going to look like in that atmosphere.
Yeah, it certainly pops into your head, and you know that they're kind of putting beach volleyball on a pedestal by putting them right there. And, you know, they're going to be in a lot of those shots, the opening shots of the Olympic Games and whatnot. But, I mean, you know, being there and playing there and being a part of it isn't really a part of our reality until we get there, you know. So we're just trying to stay present, and we know the goal is to get there, but it'll come.
A lot of Olympians that I interview, the first time is that first experience. It's amazing, all the majesty and everything like that. But then the second time when they go, there's a little different of a focus. Have you guys noticed that? Is your focus a little different than when you previously were able to get into the games?
Yeah, we definitely aren't the type of people that want to just go qualify for the Olympics and just get a decent result. It's like, our focus is going to be to medal, you know, once we qualify, and we have the ability to do that. And I think as I get older, focus gets a little bit more clear every single year. And if it wasn't, then, you know, why would you keep playing, and why would you have those lofty goals? Why would you want to have all that pressure on you all the time? So I think it's an advantage for us because we're veterans, and just to kind of continue to be focused and to get more focused all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot to the Olympic experience in terms of seeing things and feeling things. And so we've gotten some of that out of the way. We don't have to worry quite as much about being eyes wide open. And we can hopefully focus a little better, but honestly, we're just making up stories in our head that it exists right now. Like, we got to go make it happen, make it a reality first.
All right, goal this weekend. What do you guys have on tap, and what kind of goals have you set for yourself going into this weekend?
Be present and get after it that first match, and then hopefully the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm looking forward to you guys coming to Chicago in a couple weeks, so that'll be fun. You guys have done Chicago before, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of our faves, for sure. That's an amazing event. People in Chicago are amazing. The fans know what they're talking about, and the stadium packs out every single year. So that's also going to be exciting.
Yeah.
These tournaments are so great. Like, obviously, they don't directly help us for points for FIVB for Olympics, but we grow so much because we're battling, and we're in the grind of it all. So I think it's as beneficial as us as playing one of those Olympic qualifiers, just because we grow as a team, we take steps forward, and just kind of continue to build.
And those kids in the stands are watching you guys and aspiring to one day be you. So it's a really cool experience for everyone who gets to do it. Tri, I wanted to ask you, I just wanted to wrap up with a couple questions real quick. You were born in Hawaii. How have you been absorbing kind of all the news from your home states with the wildfires?
Yeah, born and raised in Hawaii. It's hard to comprehend for me. I you know, not seeing it in person and only hearing on the news and talking to friends back home, it's just hard to comprehend. Like, it's really sad. It's a really terrible thing that happened. But one of the cool things about Hawaii is the community. It's the most tight-knit community I've ever witnessed, and I've been all over the world. So I know that they'll come back stronger, and they'll turn it into a positive somehow, some way. But it's hard to comprehend. Really, really tragic.
Where can we follow you guys? How can we follow you on your journey, both this weekend in Chicago and beyond?
I think Instagram's probably the best place to follow us. I also have a podcast, the Sandcast Podcast. Had this guy on a few times. We have a YouTube channel. But Instagram for both of us personally, at Triborn.
Kamer. At Kamer. Chaimer.
We'll keep you guys updated.
Sounds awesome. Good luck this weekend. We'll see you in Chicago, and on your journey, guys. Take care.
Appreciate it.
Heck yeah. Thank you.
Take care.
They'll be in LA this weekend, Chicago Labor Day weekend. Also underway this week, the World Athletic Championships in Budapest, which will feature the world's best and fastest track and field stars. The championships run through the end of the month. Next week, the FIBA World Cup tips off in the Philippines. Team USA is the favorite, despite only one player on the men's basketball roster having an NBA championship ring and not having won the tournament since 2014. The team's strength, though, might be its coaching staff. Steve Kerr, Eric Spoelstra, Ty Lue all have 15 titles as players and coaches. And of course, Gonzaga's Mark Few has had a lot of success at the collegiate level. His worst year with the Zags, a 23-11 record. By the way, only Bobby Portis has a title as a player with the Milwaukee Bucks in 2021. Well, that does it for this week's Quest for Gold. We'll be right back here next week with more updates, news, and information about the upcoming games in Paris. I'm Ryan Burrow. We'll see you then. We'll be right back.